Now, an incredible story on the front page of today's Daily Mirror. Shameless is the headline. And this yet another story about the PIP assessments, the personal independent payments. So Declan Mullen from Crossgar has locked-in syndrome. Now that means he can't move, he can't talk, he can't see. And yet his scores in this PIP assessment, like sometimes I struggle to say this out loud without, well, let me just read this to you. So this is someone who can't eat for himself, can't see, can't talk, can't move. And out of a score of 8, 8 being the maximum score, mixing with other people, he's given a 4. He's got locked-in syndrome. Making budgeting decisions. Maximum score 6. He's given a 2. He can't move. He can't talk. He can't see. He can't eat. What I was going to say a moment ago is, you know, sometimes I find it very difficult not to get angry. And I don't think it's the role of a journalist to be so immune and to things. This is a human being we're talking about who is as entitled to his rights, as entitled to respect as anybody else. Now, who in this country, what type of system in this country and who is overseeing it? For this individual who can't speak for himself, Declan Mullen, who has decided to score him 2 out of 6 for making budgeting decisions when the man can't talk or move or eat? Eating and drinking. Maximum score 10. 10 would be at the worst end of the scale, and they're giving someone with locked in syndrome 6. Managing your treatments, and they describe the criteria around this. It says you need supervision, prompting or assistance from another person to manage your therapy, and that this therapy takes no more than 3.5 hours a week. Out of a maximum score of 8, they give this man with locked-in syndrome a 2. Now, at what stage is the permanent secretary, who is the man in charge of all of this now? He's the man ultimately accountable. At what stage is he going to explain to you, the public of Northern Ireland, why we are treating some of our citizens like this? Like, this Daily Mirror story is simply astonishing. It can't be anything else other than astonishing. So to the Permanent Secretary, Leo O'Reilly, you, Mr. O'Reilly, are at the top of the tree. And maybe there is something here that I'm not seeing. But when you give someone, when you are at the top of the tree, Mr. O'Reilly, and under your watch, someone with locked-in syndrome is being given 2 out of 6 for making budgeting decisions. When someone with locked-in syndrome is being given 2 out of a possible 8 for managing your treatments when he can't move, what the hell is going on? John, Declan's father, John, is with us this morning. Do you know what, John? If I'm getting frustrated even reading this out, what must you be thinking?
Morning, Stephen. Yeah, I was astonished now, so I was. He did receive his award in the end, but I think it's the procedure of how it's actually dealt with that I question. Declan, as you know, in my eyes, and I'm sure in a lot of people's eyes, is probably one of the most disabled people in Northern Ireland. And how bad do you need to be, worse than Declan, to get the highest scores awarded on these PIPS assessments? I don't know what's worse. So I was aware of the form coming. It was been filtered out in different areas, and I was aware it was coming, and always at the back of my mind thought, well, you know, he's not going to be questioned here, you know, in his condition. And the form came in, and the form was quite easy to fill in, because it was nearly the same answer for every question, because Declan can't do anything other than blink. So I provided all the evidence, all the medical evidence, and pushed the form off. And 3 weeks later, I received a phone call from an assessor. And she was asking me a few questions about different things in the form, and she sort of reiterated that she felt that, in her professional view, that she still needed to meet Declan face-to-face. And she had asked me, could I bring Declan to Belfast to a special meeting? And at that point, I started to doubt everything. And I said no. And she then asked me, could she come to the house to assess him? And I agreed. So she asked me who would be present at the assessment, and I said Declan's lawyers would be present. And she asked me why the lawyers would be present. And I answered, I've provided you, in my view, with ample evidence to explain how Declan is the way he is and his daily living problems with his disability. And in my view, I don't think you've read that form. I personally don't think you actually understand it. And I feel that if you're coming to assess my son for being disabled, I think he needs somebody to assess you to make sure you're capable of carrying out a professional job. Well, the meeting never took place. And he was awarded his DLA or PIPS, and it was only when I started looking down the scores, I thought to myself, who in the right mind would even suggest that these are acceptable? So that's where we are now. So I just thought it would be nice to sort of share it with people and to make you realise that, you know, even being so severe disabled as Declan is, you're still being questioned.
Yeah, that's what we're doing to severely disabled people in this country.
Yeah, totally disgraceful.
That's what we're doing. We're telling them that they're at the very bottom. You know, someone that can't move, eat, talk.
Yep.
We're telling him that some people get a maximum score of 8, but he's only going to get a 2.
You see, my question...
For managing his treatments. Like, who... Is the person who scored this still scoring other vulnerable people? Is the person who scored this still employed? Is the person who scored this, should they be disciplined? Or is this exemplary behaviour? Is the person who... Can your son eat...
He's peg fed.
Okay, so has he any capacity, if he's hungry, to eat himself without supervision?
Well, it's only recently now that he would eat big tasters. Like, so if he can smell food. So Darkin's problem was, if we were sitting having our dinner, he could smell the food, and he was going, oh, I really want to eat that. But he couldn't. And through time, what we have been doing recently is that we've been mixing in pureed potatoes and gravy and trying to spoon feed him like a baby. And that's the only form of eating that he can sort of...
So can he lift his own hand and reach for anything?
No, Dagen's completely tetraplegic.
So he cannot move a hand to reach out for food or drink?
The only part of Dagen's body that he can actually move from a brain function is his eyes, so he can blink.
Okay. So with their criteria, with the criteria that is written down here in front of me, you need assistance from another person to manage a therapeutic source that enables you to take nutrition. They've scored him 6 out of 10.
Yeah. How bad do you need to be to get 10? Dead? See, what questioned me was, Steve, in the community, in the current community, Declan has a fantastic team of people who look after him. From every profession, GP, social worker, physiotherapist, psychiatrist, occupational therapist, and so on, speech therapist. And they are all professional people in their own right. And if I had a problem, I just can't go to Declan's GP and say, I need that you to speak to. I need a bit of advice on Declan's, say, toxic, his swallow, or his speech therapist. I have to go to those professional people. And they have to give a passion. They have to do their job, and they are monitored. And they are scrutinised, and they are accountable for their decisions. So this thing, when I spoke to this lady as a assessor, I started to think to myself, how can you be all of those people? Like, Declan sees a psychiatrist from time to time, because if you can imagine him being the way he is, he's bound to be crying inside his head. And I started to think, how are you qualified to sit in some desk somewhere, or even sit in your own home and phone people up like me and listen to my explanations of my disabled son? How are you qualified to be all of these people? And that's my question. I think it's actually not allowed.
Do you not think you should have let them come out and assess your son?
Well, I wanted them to come out. They didn't come out. After me telling them that I wouldn't be present and that Dagen's legal team would be with them to assess them, maybe they didn't want to come out after I made that comment.
So you told them that they could come out and assess your son?
Yep, they did.
But and your lawyers would be there, as you're entitled to have.
Yep,
and they
correct.
couldn't be bothered coming out.
No, I think once they mentioned lawyers, it's sort of screwed.
And they assessed your son on what basis?
That's my point. One minute they wanted to come and scrutinise him face to face. Once I mentioned lawyers, they never contacted me again. They just posted me the letter of TIPS assessment, said that he would have rewarded his.
And this was based on a form you'd filled in, was it? Their scoring?
Yeah.
In which you described your son's condition. Did you tell them he had locked-in syndrome?
I even provided every piece of medical evidence from 2012 from which my son took ill. All proper health professional documentations of his cause of his illness, his prognosis, and his life expectancy and his outcome of his daily living, all signed by professional people. Is that not good enough?
The Department for Communities. Under Mr. O'Reilly's watch, he's the Permanent Secretary, they tell us all the department expects the highest standards from Capita, who deliver the PIP assessment service. They go on in their statement to say that Capita is committed to delivering a high quality and empathetic service. They didn't turn up.
Are Capita a health professional service?
Well, we heard Nicola Weir was interviewing Walter Radar, who carried out the review into PIP. And he told Nicola Weir at the weekend that they get 5 weeks training.
Well, I don't know, but I'm assuming that any nurse or any occupational therapist, anybody comes in through my door, doctor, GP, you name it, I would say they had to go to university and get years of training.
The Department for Community spokesperson says each disability assessor must have a minimum of 2 years post-registration experience, which must be fulfilled within an approved health profession and receive extensive training in line with DFC guidelines before they undertake PIP assessments. What the department is not covering in this statement is the following. How was your son, who has locked-in syndrome, how is it not concerning to the department if someone with such a profound disability, to the extent where he can't speak, he can't move, he can't do anything. We know what locked-in syndrome is. You can't move. The only thing he can do is blink. So how did they score him one of the lowest scores for managing his own treatment? Like, he's 1 point above the lowest score possible. He got a 2 out of 8.
it's very frustrating. You know, it's very frustrating that.
But I am desperate. I don't think there's another story we will do that is more in the public interest. I am desperate for some of these officials to explain to us, rather than these statements. You know, so here's a statement telling us that Capita, who did this, is committed to delivering a high quality service. Clear the noise out of this. How have they assessed your son like this? How have they got to a score of 2 for someone that can only blink, that they can manage their budgeting decisions? The criteria says you need prompting or assistance from another person to make complex budgeting decisions, and it's a 2.
Yep.
Now, has your son ever made a complex budgeting decision since his condition on his own?
No.
Has he ever made any financial transaction on his own?
He's not allowed to.
How did they give him a 2 out of 6?
You tell me, Steve.
And yet the Department for Communities, this is a local body in our community, they're telling us that their assessor, Capita, is committed to delivering a high-quality service. Like, I genuinely don't understand. I do not understand this.
See, when you're dealing with such a disability and you're dealing with all these health questions over a number of years now, you get a broad picture of how everything works. Everybody in their own discipline is accountable for every medical decision or medical advice that they have to deliver. And that's when I questioned the lady ringing me on the phone. I thought to myself, who trained you? What training have you got? What background have you got? And then I think when I challenged her on the phone and then told her that, in my opinion, I think you're wrong, and because Darren can't speak for himself, he's entitled to legal representation, let them scrutinise you to make sure you're doing your job properly.
They don't turn up.
They didn't turn up.
I would like you to respond to this today, as the public, if you're listening to this story. I would really like you to pick up the phone and just tell me, you know, this matters slightly more than most stories we do, doesn't it? Because if we don't stand up for someone as vulnerable as Declan to get answers on his behalf, then what are we all about?
It's a good reflection on society if we can't look after our elderly and our sick. Because someday we will be sick. And elderly, and who will be looking after us?
03030 80 55 55 is the number this morning. 03030 80 55 55. What impact does this have on you?
I've sort of hardened myself to all these things now, Stephen, because like this is not the first hurdle I've had to jump over. You know, from the day one of Dagen's condition, you know, and the problems I've been, it's been a constant battle, but I'll just keep battling on. It does get very emotional sometimes because you get so many, you're tied up in so much work between looking after your job and your family and looking after Declan, and running Declan's care package is just like another business. And I'm accountable. You know, Declan's care package is involved money, and I am accountable for that money. I can't understand why other people are not accountable for their decisions. But you just have to get on with it and live day by day and stay strong. And Declan just loves life, and he just loves socialising and meeting friends and having a good time, because he used to be a normal, able-bodied young 19-year-old, and he had full healthy life in front of him, and all of a sudden he was struck down. And I think we just need to be mindful that it could happen to any of us at any split second.
Do you feel lonely in the middle of this? Do you feel...
My wife and I have both chatted that our biggest concern, our worry is that if we weren't there, what would happen to Declan? And I think the lady on the phone, when I explained to her, when she was reading out the reports of his condition, I actually think maybe she even doubted. There's no way is this guy even living at home. You know, and more people with severe disabilities are living at home, because years ago you'd have locked people away who had conditions like this. You'd have put them in an institution and locked the door, and that was the end of it. But with modern medicine, and people are being able to live as best possible on a normal life at home with help from our health service. And our health service is not all bad. Trust me, we have a fantastic group of people, from doctors right down to the people, or Deccan's very carers.
I think this is, I wonder, John, at the heart of this story, though, is it about the lack of accountability? You know, there's no indication there's no explanation from the people who work for all of us, these civil servants. There's no explanation as to how they got to this.
No.
You know, when they write these statements and, you know, they say there's a robust complaint process in place for people who are unhappy.
Where does it go?
They say the PIP assessment looks at how individuals are able to complete the number of key everyday activities. But they don't actually explain how, again, in a case study like your son, who is so profoundly disabled, they don't explain how they score him so low.
Yet the professionals below them, yet the nurses, the doctors, the OTs, they have to explain. They have to have an accountability for every person, sick person, every decision. They have to be accountable. I don't know.
I want you to say out loud what impact this has on you. So rather than me saying it, I want you to say it. How does it make you feel? What impact does it have on you?
I feel angry. You know, I feel that people don't understand the level of problems that people like that can face until it hits your own door. But yeah, it's just, I would expect a bit of dignity. You know, there's days you want to scream. There's days you want to run away. But when you look at Declan, and he has nobody but us to look after him, well, it gives you the strength to keep going. But you do get angry. But the secret is not to get angry. The secret is to be calm and deal with it in a logical manner and get on with it. And
I feel like I'm letting you down this morning. I really do. Because I just haven't got answers here to give you as to how this has happened.
Does Declan
know what's going on?
Well, Declan does, yeah. Because, like, we've had to explain to Declan. Declan is fully cognitive. That's the problem. Declan is fully cognitive. He's not, you know, he understands everything. He just can't do everything. And I've explained to him what it was all about, and explained to him what BLA was, and then what it's been now turned in, and what it's for, and how it helps him in his daily living, and how, if it wasn't there, how his life would not be as easy, and how it wouldn't be as easy on us. And, you know, there was an ESA form. He had another benefit that he had to go through the whole thing again with an ESA form. And I just thought to myself, how many times do I have to tell people how disabled Declan is?
John, I do want to say I'm sorry that I haven't been able to do more for you today.
Well, you're no problem.
Thank you for telling your story, sir.
100%. Thank you.
Thank you.